Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to Louder Crowder. I'm your host, Jamie Colburn. Thank you for tuning in on Radio 99.6. Today, I have the honor to sit with between two intellectuals. Today, they will talk about Winston Churchill. Was he a hero or a bloodthirsty warmonger? On my right, James Cooper, prominent Portuguese historian who is specialized in World War II.
Hello.
And on my left, we have John McCarthy, the most prolific author in modern literature. He's from Canada and was nominated for the Nobel Prize of Literature last year. He has written modern classics like the amazing Drifting with the Wind, which has had an Oscar-winning film adaptation, as well as a controversial Robbing of a Nation, a book about the Bengali famine caused by Churchill during the Second World War.
Hello.
So for anyone who doesn't know who Winston Churchill was, I'm going to briefly introduce him to you. Winston Churchill was born on the 13th of November of 1874 in England. He was a British statesman, army officer and writer who served as Prime Minister of the UK from 1940 to 1945 and again from 1951 to 1955. During his time as Prime Minister, he led Britain to an Allied victory during World War II. He's often considered as the greatest Briton of all times. Could you try and talk a bit more about his actions during the Second World War?
First off, I can't understand why people consider Churchill to be the greatest Briton of all times. This is denying the horrors he was responsible for. The Bengali famine, for example, which could be considered a genocide. Bengali was an agrarian society dependent on its agriculture. Churchill did not see anything wrong in stealing the resources of Bengali for the war. He was a cold-headed murderer, ignoring this is what I call historical amnesia.
I do not deny that Churchill was maybe a bit backwards in his opinions about British colonies, but without him, Europe today would be very different. He was the leader of the free European world, who faced with the German menace, decided to act and stop the Nazi war machine. In the dark early days of Second World War, Churchill had few real weapons. He attacked with words instead. The speeches he delivered then are among the most powerful ever given in the English language. His words were giving hope. They reached out to everyone in Britain, across Nazi-occupied Europe, and throughout the world.
Let's talk a bit more about the Bengali famine. I think the spectators, including me, would like to hear your opinion on the Bengali famine. What is really caused by Churchill? Was it his fault?
First off, it is very unfair to put all the blame on Britain. I mean, yes, Britain did not handle the situation in Bengali with skill, but it was determined to happen. And calling it a genocide is an insult to the meaning of that word. Bengali had suffered many drought and climatic crises. The crops did not grow, and mothers had 5 to 7 children. Density grew, and the food wasn't enough. Britain was at war and believed that taking some of the food would not have a lasting effect. And many experts think that the famine would be worse without Churchill.
I would like to change the subject, if you don't mind. I fear that this debate may become about the Bengali famine and not about Churchill.
He was a skilled orator and had charisma. Not only that, but he may be the greatest conservative leader in British history.
He lost the 1945 election in a landslide to Clement Attlee's Social Democratic Labour Party, who rebuilt Britain after the war, created single-payer healthcare, began giving freedom to colonies in Africa and Asia. Churchill was opposed to this, and more. As political commentators speculated, the rest of the election came as a major shock to the Conservatives, given the heroic status of Winston Churchill, but reflected the voters' belief that the Labour parties were better able to rebuild the country following the war than the Conservatives. Conservatives are good for war, not good for peace.
But he won again in 1951, so he still had the faith of the people. He only lost once. And talking about warm, he was extremely human and patriotic when visiting soldiers and thinking about war strategies. He was, if I may say so, a great bloody tactician.
Well, the Gallipoli campaign was a disaster, with thousands of young kids between the ages of 18 and 20 dying for a mistake made by their superiors.
And he took all the blame. He accepted it. This event traumatized him so much that he was actually not sure he liked the idea of debarking in the Norman shores in France.
Interesting. How about his private life? Was he like the Churchill that appeared in public?
An alcoholic and a wife beater.
Jeremy, I do think that Churchill's private life doesn't matter. I judge him for what he did for Europe, not petty household problems.
He was also in favor of using poisonous gases against Afghans and Kurds.
No! He never talked about poisonous gases. It is unfair criticism. What he meant was that using tear gas would be a great way of neutralizing revolts or violent insurrections without using lethal violence and soldiers.
It's still anti-ethical, in my opinion, to use tear gas against human beings. And going back to the political life, you're aware of the fact that he was one of the leaders responsible of the coup in Iran. Mossadegh was at the time a democratically elected leader, very occidental. The only problem was he tried to nationalize oil. That was the reason for taking him out of power.
So, Churchill was a man of force, in your opinion. And what is your opinion, Mrs. Cooper?
Churchill greets President Franklin D. Roosevelt at the Quebec Conference in Canada, 11 September of 1944. Churchill understood that the support of the United States was critical to Allied victory. Although they had their differences, the understanding between Churchill and Roosevelt underpinned what we now call the special relationship between Britain and the United States. Churchill was building bridges, not walls, during World War II. He was not afraid to pact with dictators like Stalin for the future of Europe. He was a man who used words as weapons.
Yes, tell that to the Indians.
It's not that simple, you know?
Yes, it...
Yale, I think that's enough for today's session of historic debates. You guys are starting to be way too aggressive. I'm sorry, but I can't have so disrespectful guests. Thank you very much to both of our guests. We'll see you tomorrow at 8:30 p.m. GMT.
I'm not finished.
I mean, this is outrageous. Stupid debate.